This episode will begin a little differently this week. I'd like to say this again loudly. I stand in solidarity with Black, Indigenous, and people of color in this community against the terrible acts of violence, discrimination, and injustice that have occurred in our country now and in history. I stand with the fight to promote justice, dismantle racism, amplify marginalized voices, and to foster an inclusive and diverse world. I want to share a quote by Mr. Rogers. "Knowing that we can be loved exactly as we are gives us all the best opportunity for growing into the healthiest of people." This quote lies at the heart of our mission at Creative Therapy Umbrella. The mission here is for children to be loved, supported, encouraged, and given fair and equal opportunity exactly as they are. Unfortunately, these things cannot and do not happen for every child and every person in the world that we live in. As a podcaster, I realize that I have a unique opportunity to amplify the voices of our therapy community. I pledge to do better in creating spaces where these voices can be heard, and I'd like to sincerely apologize that this hasn't happened sooner. I will continue to do my own work in understanding my own privilege by listening, reflecting, learning, and unlearning, and by relentlessly moving forward towards change. One small thing that I'm going to do is include a survey in every episode. The survey is a space where you can voice your opinion, your concerns, and/or your suggestions. I will take every single one of them into deep consideration. Your voice matters, I want to hear it, and it needs to be heard. For now, we will continue with our regularly scheduled episode, but know that here at Creative Therapy Umbrella, we will be working hard to learn more, to unlearn our biases, and to continually improve this space on our continuous and persistent journey towards change. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a space where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapy, and creative approaches to therapy. Today, I have something a little bit different for you guys, and I've been equally excited and nervous about it. I've been planning it for a little while. And what spurred this was I was actually interviewing a very sweet friend, Mabel, for the podcast. She'll be on in a few weeks. And she was like, "You know, Kate, I haven't really heard your story." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I haven't really told it on my podcast." So this is very different for me, but I also do feel it's really important that you know a little bit about me too. So I have been lucky enough to have been interviewed on a couple other podcasts on Music Therapy Chronicles and Make More Music, and they're doing amazing things, and it was such an honor to speak to both Trisha and Chris. But here at Creative Therapy Umbrella, I also thought it is important that you guys hear directly from me some of my experiences of how I got to where I am today. So the first one that I really want to start with is the story of how I almost got held back in kindergarten for being a selective mute. I definitely did not realize this Obviously at the time, but until way later. I think I was probably in psychopathology class when I realized that selective mutism was a thing. And, you know, I feel like a lot of us go through the DSM and it's like, oh, I have that, I have that, I have that. And you can really see a lot of the characteristics of many things in the DSM in yourself, and it's easy to do. But this one really, really hit home for me, and I was like, wow, I think that's actually, that would be what I had. So what happened for me was, I'm going to take it all the way back to 1989 when I was four. And there were a couple things, there were actually two different things that moved me through selective mutism. And the first one I'm going to tell you about today, and that's creativity, no surprise there. But I'll tell you a little bit more details about it. But the second one, I will actually probably tell you about that one the next time I do one of these episodes. And that one is karate, because I have a black belt in karate, and I started when I was like four. So some pretty different things that were really helpful to me as a kid. So let's go back. 1989. All the awesome big hair, really fun, colorful clothes and all that stuff. So I was an incredibly shy kid. Bashful was always the word that I heard a lot, really bashful. And if there's picture evidence of this, if you follow the link to my website that's in the show notes, and you can see, you can actually see how bashful and shy I am in this picture. I'm kind of clenching my hands, and you can tell my body is very tense, and I don't want to be in this picture, but I guarantee I'm laughing, and I guarantee it's my brother who is on the other side of the camera making me laugh, because he's really good at that. So really, really shy. And so in kindergarten, I just didn't talk. I can't remember a lot about then, but I don't think I felt comfortable. Being around a lot of kids was really overwhelming for me. I also think this goes into part of being an HSP, which if you haven't listened to that episode, I'll also link that in the show notes. And just being really overwhelmed with sensory information and really just trying to take everything in and really think about a lot of things before I make actions. And I think all of that really went into part of me not talking in kindergarten. So I didn't really talk. I think about 6 months in is when it changed and I did start talking, and I did not get held back in kindergarten. And when I look back and try to figure out, okay, what happened? What was the change in that? What was the positive experience? Where's the resiliency factors? There's two things, one of them being creativity and the other one being, I think, was karate for me. And with creativity, I was so lucky to grow up in a home where creativity was incredibly valued. My dad is a musician. He's a drummer. He's been drumming since he was 10. Always, always super musical. Some of my favorite memories are like laying on the ground with my feet up, and my dad would practice rudiments on the bottom of my feet, which was, it was hilarious. It was so much fun. And my mom is a very creative person in an artistic way, a very visually artistic person. She has a giant craft room, that when we were kids, it was, you know, more like a craft corner, but now she has a craft room, and she just always has an eye for putting things together. She makes these beautiful stained glass pieces. She made these stained glass stars for our wedding as the favors for our wedding. And she's always creating stuff. She does wood burning. She makes dough ornaments and is always making something else new with her hands. And she's so good at it. But so I was really lucky, because that is the environment I grew up with. I grew up with really amazing parents who really valued creativity, And in that way, they were excellent role models for me to look up to and experience different modes of creativity. And they were also really encouraging of any type of creative pursuit that I wanted to try, including those ridiculous washcloth things that you make with a loom. I remember making so many of those as a kid and being so excited. And, you know, my mom was like, oh, I'll take them to work and, you know, see if anyone wants to buy them. And which was really sweet. And I ended up finding them all like several years later, which was the point of the whole thing is that is, you know, having parents who are really, really supportive of that. And I'm so lucky because that is what I think was my resiliency power. That was what helped me find more self-worth in who I was, even if I was a quiet, bashful person, that was okay. It helped me feel, I think, have more self-esteem of who I was as an individual and who I was as an individual within a large group of other kindergarten kids. So I think for me, creativity was one of the things that was able to pull me out of my shell and help me be successful. And obviously now it's, you know, it's in everything that I do. Is I think creativity is something that is present in every child that is a potential superpower for them as they grow, as they develop, and when they become adults, and in itself, when they're kids. And, you know, there's a lot of us creative arts therapists where we have to work on different goals. We might be working on physical, social, communication, all these other different goals. But I really feel that creativity in itself, supporting creativity, expanding creativity, is an amazing goal for us to be working towards. And I don't really love to say that it's a goal, but if we can come in and can support children and give them a space to nurture their creativity, we are building resiliency in those children so much as little humans who are going to go through hard things and are going to need that resiliency power. And we have the power to do that. As creative arts therapists, that's what we're all about. But I think that sometimes it's easy to forget that creativity in itself is wonderful to work on. If that's the only thing that gets done in a session is that you create, that's phenomenal. We should celebrate that so much more than, you know, just getting to another goal. I think there's so much to celebrate in the act of creativity itself. I was recommended this amazing book by a friend of mine, and I started reading it and was like crying at how powerful it was, not only about creativity in general, but about the social change that can come from creativity. So it was really powerful, especially during this time. And the book is called The Courage to Create by Rollo May. And there are 1,000 different quotes that I would love to read to you that are amazing in this, but I'm only going to do one. There's a link to the book also in the show notes, so I highly recommend it. It's really amazing. But here's the quote. But what the artist or creative scientist feels is not anxiety or fear, it is joy. I use the word in contrast to happiness or pleasure. The artist, at the moment of creating, does not experience gratification or satisfaction, though this may be the case later after he or she has a highball or a pipe in the evening. Rather, it is joy. Joy defined as the emotion that goes with heightened consciousness, the mood that accompanies the experience of actualizing one's own potentialities. I'm going to say that last piece one more time. The mood that accompanies the experience of actualizing one's own potentialities. We as creative arts therapists are supporting and creating a space where children can have those experiences to realize their own potentialities just by creating, by giving them the option to create whatever it is they want to create. That is so powerful. And to me, there is nothing more deep in the mission of Creative Therapy Umbrella than trying to get a way that every child can have those experiences. And as creative arts therapists, you feel the same way. You wouldn't be here listening to all of the content that we talk about if that wasn't important to you as a person and important to you as a therapist in supporting all of the children and teens and adults that we work with. So I really think about how this comes full circle and how my struggle as a kid with really intense shyness, with selective mutism, how creativity was able to pull me out of that and give me something to move forward with. We know that creativity, just being in the act of creating, can support self-esteem, self-worth, individuality, emotional expression, creative expression, feelings of cathartic feelings. And we know all of that potential. And I think sometimes we have to shift and remember that that experience in itself is incredibly powerful for a child. And to openly talk about that, about the creative experience and how fun it is to create. So as we wrap up this story, I wanted to share a few things with you. One of them being that I plan on doing more of these short snippets of episodes to share with you. Some of those might be stories, some of them might be resources that I found, and just talking with you more about what I might be doing behind the scenes, things that I found that could be really helpful. So I'm going to try to do that more. It is my goal for the next year. Part of the reason why I wanted to put this out this week was today's Wednesday. I'm recording this on Wednesday. But yesterday, Tuesday, was my birthday. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to be vulnerable, like Brené Brown says, and I'm going to go out there and, you know, say these things. But I really do want to share more with you and give more resources and talk about these different things. So let me know if there's more stuff you want to hear about. Number two, if you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, there is a awesome freebie that is a workbook for creativity. And it's a quick guide, so it won't take super, super long, but it's really fun. It's very interactive. I had a ton of fun making it. But so I wanted to put that out there as, especially during this time, self-care can be really hard, and we do have to remember to give ourselves space and time to create, especially as creative arts therapists. So I came up, just put together, and this is from my research of creativity in general, of different exercises to do to boost creativity, which in turn, if we can boost our creativity, if we can expand our mind about creativity, we're going to be able to spot that in children so much quicker, and we're going to be able to hold more space for them. So there is that. And an exciting part of that is I'm actually creating a course called Cultivating Creativity. And that will be coming out in, I would say, in the next few weeks to a month. So stay tuned. If you're on the newsletter, you're going to get all of that info. You're going to get early access to it and everything. So there is a link to my newsletter. So you can get that freebie down in the show notes. And besides that, the next time I talk with you like this, I will be telling you the story of karate and how for me a mind-body connection was really incredible for my growth as a kid, and why I feel so passionate about talking with dance therapists, drama therapists, those embodiment pieces, and how powerful those things can be for kids. So I will share that with you next time. Thank you all again so much for listening. Don't forget there is a survey in the show notes as well, and there will be from now on. Anytime you want to write in, you want to give feedback, concerns, tell me about something I'm missing, let me know. I want to hear what you have to say so much. Thank you again for listening, and be creative.